There are a lot of things in this world that are more important than grades. Not that we don't think grades are important, and they are, but they're not more important than helping someone who's hungry. And soccer practice isn't more important than helping a kid who needs a bed.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
All right, 18 Summers Tribe, we're here today with some of our favorite people, Jim and Cinda Rocker, like rock stars. They definitely are. They're wonderful people and great friends and folks that we love. Met them through real estate, but have continued our friendship and relationship into matters of the heart and things that are purpose-driven in addition to real estate. So welcome, guys.
Influenced our family greatly.
Oh, for sure. Welcome.
For having us. It's been just a joy for us to get to know you guys and your family. And we're just excited to be here with you today.
And I would just say it was a blessing for us to meet you two. So you're saying it's for us, but we are better to have known you two and to be able to share that time in Guatemala was awesome. So I appreciate that.
It was so powerful. Well, now that you reference it, let's jump right in. What do you do in Guatemala?
We were introduced to Guatemala and the people there about 14 years ago. And so we have now just fallen in love with that country and with the people there, and now just kind of consider it our second family and just a place where we have loved to be able to go as individuals, as leaders, and now as a family to be able to go and serve in an orphanage that we are affiliated with and a feeding center. And just, you know, the more you go and you meet more people and develop more relationships, find new needs and new ways that we as a family and as kind of the spokesperson for those needs back in the state, just finding new needs and new ways that that group of people back here can then intersect with those needs in a way that can hopefully be powerful and life-changing to the people that live there.
So you guys provide other families like us the opportunity to volunteer, which is something that's on everyone's hearts, but they don't know how to do it. But you basically show them, how can you feed the hungry? How can you help build schools where there are no schools? How can you help in orphanages? I mean, it's things that we all hear about and want to do, but you actually put together the whole experience.
Right. And there's something so powerful to actually get in there and do that with your own hands. It's there's something more powerful than, I mean, writing a check is wonderful. And, you know, sending a check in the mail is helpful. But to be able to go and do all the things that you mentioned with your own hands, and then even if you get to do that with, you know, your partner and your kids and as a family, to be able to do that. Yeah, our goal is to make that really easy. Like, you sign up and you stick with us and we do the groundwork ahead of you and have relationships with people there that do a lot of the groundwork ahead of us. And, you know, we've done it enough times that we kind of know where to go. We know where not to go. We know what can be most helpful. We've also learned through the process of 14 years what is actually maybe long-term harmful, because you're almost promoting dependency and poverty, which we never want to be a part of that dependency cycle. So we've learned things that are helpful. We've learned things that aren't. And then just invite other people to jump on the boat with us and, you know, to be able to do that. And yeah, we've tried really to make it very easy that just come, bring your suitcase, bring your toothbrush, your water bottle, your journal, and just come and we'll take care of the rest. Yeah. And typically it's been a really powerful week.
I think I couldn't say it any better. I would just add that it all kind of, the seed of it was a God thing. We were drawn there by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And through that, we were prompted to, we wanted to adopt, we wanted to help. And this thing really was a God thing. We didn't really want to do it, just kind of evolved. And then it got to the point where it is now, where we brought lots of people there. And I love going. So it's kind of fun to bring people, show them Guatemala. And, you know, it talks about to help the widows and the orphans. And it really hit us when we got married that we can help people, we can do something. And it just happened that God drew us to that beautiful, you know, Guatemala country. And so it's changed our lives as well too.
Now you referenced, and I think that's so great. You can write a check, and writing a check is fabulous, but actually doing the work yourself is so powerful. And then to take it one step further, doing the work yourself with your child beside you is incredibly right. powerful. And I know, as you said, you guys adopted from Guatemala, so those children have an understanding. But how did you bring your older children into the mix of all of this? How did you introduce the concept of service and contribution? How do you continue to keep them active in service?
Yeah, I know, because it seems so counter what teenagers would want to do, right? But like, I think with anything, you know, we never intended to take our kids, really. We certainly never intended to take our kids' friends. I mean, that just seemed like way too much responsibility. And who would send their kids to a third world country to go out into the ghetto, to build homes, to work at orphanages? Like, no one would do that. And so we just went and did it, you know, ourselves. And we'd come back and we would tell our kids' youth group about it, and we'd show them pictures. And this went on for a couple of years. And they're like, you show us pictures and you tell us stories, but come on, like, will you take us? Can we go? And so like it was their idea. All we did really was do it. And then it was so exciting and so fulfilling and so powerful that as we came home and shared that, I think that just was contagious. And they, you know, just asked us like, can we go? And I'm like, well, yeah, we said to our own kids, yes, you can go, of course. And then, you know, their friends said, can we go too? And we're like, well, and if your parents would say yes, I'm sure your parents will never say yes. Well, all their parents said, sure. And, you know, they came home and that same joy and fulfillment and love for the people in Guatemala, they came home and it was like that ripple effect of they told someone and they told someone and they told someone, to the point where it just really grew pretty exponentially.
And I think there's something. You can help in your community. You can help every once in a while. There's something about going away. You can't go back home real quick. You're far away where you have to just trust God. And people change. And even with the younger kids, and we just love your family board meeting concept. We do it in our family as well. Thank you for bringing that to us. We love you for that. But when you get your kids away from their phones and where they're, when they help a fellow child, it's just interesting. Like, they become more involved. It becomes more important to them that they see another child in a situation that they're not in. And it proliferates. And then we talk about it. And then we've all wanted to go back. We have a great time there. You know, and then it changes your whole work life. You know, I go to work a lot of times to create funds so I can go back there.
Yeah.
Or can we help somebody buy computers? Can we do this or that? And talking about when the first group came, I was amazed that any parent would let us take their kids. I remember getting back from that first trip. We were in bed just thinking, well, we'll never do that again. That was fun, but that was a big deal. And then like the next day we had a waiting list for the next year.
Wow.
And we're like, all right, we can do one more, but that's probably going to be it, you know? And then it goes
to the next one. There's a lot of things I'm not conscious of, but when we first started doing our family retreats almost 10 years ago, Jamie and I interviewed a slew of business owners, professionals, entrepreneurs. And I have to say, I'm not surprised the parents let them go. And there's why. When we did this survey, we asked this question. We said, what is one of the biggest concerns you have about your children? That was one of our main questions. And 99% of the time, the answer came back as this: I want my kids to appreciate what they have. I have not found a better teacher than active service and contribution. As I said, when we first met, Jim, I'm always looking for ways to put my kids. You're like, oh, do I have something for you? And we were, you know, with the help of our wives coordinating it, of course, because it lost emails between you and I. No surprise, the ADD entrepreneurs. But we were in right away because I have that desire for not only myself, but I want my kids to appreciate what they have. And I think, like you said, the kids helping feed the kids, help them build the school, and then being in the orphanage playing with them, watching our kids bring joy and support to these other kids, I think gave that value of our kids now appreciate our financial resources more. Like, we've had talks since Guatemala that have been incredible. They have more of an appreciation and what's in it for me attitude has, you know, subsided. And we all as teens have that, to the point that I don't think we ever told you this. We, after that incredible walk with Pastora down with the bunks, where I told that story on stage last week at the DLP event, I almost started crying, and people in the audience did cry when I'm saying that. As we got back in the car, we were in a different van than you. And our oldest, Alden, who you know, was on his phone. And Jamie and I got a little bit...
You're kind of combining two stories, but they're both really great stories.
So it was...
I would like for you to choose one, and then I will...
No, then you tell it, because I get excited. Because I mean, we haven't told you, so it's good we're doing this live. But I'll tell the one.
And but it's just, you don't even know which one it is.
Well, then you finish it, because I'm going to mess it up.
We'll edit all this out, don't worry.
No, you don't want to edit that. That's the good stuff.
So... Leland is what you're talking about.
No, I was talking about Alden.
Okay, so Alden, when we left the orphanage on the final day.
You're right, I did confuse it.
That's what I'm here for. on the final day leaving the orphanage, we get back in the van and Alden is like, on his phone. And it's like these long texts. And I'm like, he and I both are like looking at each other.
We're a little agitated because we want the phones down. We just went through this powerful thing and we started.
He's going to miss it. And I'm like, who are you texting? And it was his girlfriend, of course, you know, and I'm just like, but you know, we were in such a space. We're both crying and processing and we're leaving and, you know, all those things. So we just left it alone. Well, a few days later, we went out to dinner for Jim's birthday. And from across the table, I overhear our oldest, Alden, that you met, telling his best friend who didn't come with us about how he was going to adopt from a third world country. When he's 40 or 50, he said.
He put it a ways out, but he was going back and forth with his girlfriend saying, I'm just letting you know this is something that I'm doing with my life. I'm adopting a child from a third world country down the road.
That's what he was texting. You should know that right now.
She's like, whoa, what is this? Nothing against her, but if I got that text as a young 18-year-old or 17-year-old, but he was so taken by that experience.
That he immediately had to get in the van and text her about it. It was very interesting. Yeah. And this is a child that had said he's having no children. So to go from having, you know, so just
and
a
at
young
17,
man,
we're okay with that. So we're okay with that statement for now. Yeah.
But just so you know.
Oftentimes kids on trips would come home the next day, they'd come over to our house because they couldn't process what they saw. I mean, oftentimes we have the parents would come over of a certain group and they take it pretty, you might not think they are, but they take it pretty seriously when they see their peers or people that their age or closer age in poverty like that. And you guys saw the real stuff.
Oh, well, and to piggyback off the desire that you heard so many of your peers share, that we want our kids to appreciate what they have. And I think that that's the first step. But then I think the second step is then, but what can I do moving forward to make a difference in the world that I live in? That's the element that I don't think you can get unless you go and you touch it and you see it, you smell it and you hug it. And then, you know, they come home and I mean, we've seen kids, you know, shift what they're majoring in college or shift what they think they want to do as an adult, shift how they spend their money when they come home because it's implanted in them now. And I think that to me has been the greatest joy in watching, you know, we have seven and watching our seven kids come home and watching them figure out what can I do in the future to be able to make a difference with this? Because you want it to go on. You know, you can only do so much. So you need to do what you can do, but you need to spread that to others. And I think our first responsibility is to spread that to our own kids first. And then we've been blessed to then also be able to share their peers and, you know, just their age group.
And I think they also, I would say, I think they notice people in their daily walk who are in need a little bit more maybe than they would have. I think one of our kids who's older was asking where to put some extra funds he had. And he went ahead and, you know, it's really cool seeing your kids donate their hard-earned money to something that they don't have to do. We never asked them to transform futures or something like that, because they know where it's going and who it's helping. And they'll probably go there and see the person that they help, which is even cooler. So.
And now you guys didn't start out on this path. Like you said, you've been part of it for 14 years, but before that you were parents, you're a dentist, real estate investment, you know, caring for lots of other people and things in your life and making, you know, financial gains in the world. And how did you ended up in this position? As you said, it was a total God thing, right? You didn't just send a wake up one morning and say, oh, I want to make a difference in Guatemala. It kind of was thrust upon you.
I'll start and let her finish.
Yeah. Talk to us about balancing what you had going on professionally and then being called into something that really required more time and added to your family.
Initially, I came from a larger family that I had 14 adoptive cousins. And so when we got married, I was like, hey, I'd love to adopt. And she's like, I don't know about that. And then it changed to where like she wanted to really adopt. And I was like, well, okay. And we had five kids. And so you really can't adopt everywhere with five kids. There's certain countries won't allow it, even domestically. So we looked and Guatemala popped up. God drew us there. And through the process of growing there all this many years, this birthed these mission trips and this love for the country.
Well, and then in doing that, we just saw such need that it's like you came home from seeing that kind of need, and either you had to put your head in the sand and pretend that you didn't see it and lock those images away and force yourself about it, or you have to take action and do something to be able to continue to make that kind of a difference. And that, I think, is one of the coolest things about these trips, and especially as a family, because in raising a family, I think you can get so caught up in the urgent that you forget about what's important. And, you know, you're just doing your life and you're getting, you know, your school done and you're getting to practice and you're, you know, planning your next family outing, and you just kind of, and then all of a sudden years go by of doing the urgent. But have you ever done the important? And so that's what we have found these trips to be so amazing, because they draw us away from all these urgent things that our society tells us we have to do, and to step back and to be able to do that. I mean, it gives me chills right now, even just like thinking about it, to be able to do that side by side with your teenager who, you know, maybe a week ago was so mad at you because they got in trouble for breaking their curfew. And then here you are, both of you just shoulder to shoulder, you know, feeding children or mixing concrete, you know, by hand so that a family can have a cement floor instead of a mud floor. It just like puts you on this level playing field where all of a sudden you realize, wow, there are a lot of things in this world that are more important than grades. Not that we don't think grades are important, and they are, but they're not more important than helping someone who's hungry. And soccer practice isn't more important than helping a kid who, you know, needs a bed. And so it just kind of realigns our priorities, and being able to do that, just as I said, side by side as a family is so powerful and so bonding.
And I think it
rarely happens. I mean, as you pointed out, I remember saying to Jim at the end of it, you know, we're back and forth, the excitement. And I said to him, you know, Jim, I can't believe more people haven't come down. I know you've had a great amount of people, but even more people, like with our real estate group we're in together, said, how about more people come down? And you told me the answer, but I knew what it was, because it almost happened to us. And you just said, people get busy. They get busy. And like you said, Cindy, but that's an excuse. I mean, I could have used that excuse. Oh, we're doing this. Yeah, we'll get there next year. And thankfully, my anchor here, no, we're going. I haven't even met them. What's her name? Cindy? I'm calling her, you know, and we did. And now we're there. But I know it's that we get busy. But man, once we go on something like that, it's almost like when you start exercising, you're like, well, I'm feeling better. I want to keep going. So I know, like, before we started play again, we're like, no, when's the next trip? Well, we can't make that one, but could we get to this one? And, you know, we're wanting to get back there. And I think once you get the momentum of starting trips like this, I get excited to think, what could it do for family life? It's almost like that missing piece of where people are like, we're on the surface, we're not really connected. I just think this holds such a big component of a better family life overall.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you referenced the working out thing, because when I was in Guatemala last month, I was running in the morning, and some of the 12, 13, 14 year old girls at the orphanage said, you know, you're running in the morning. Can I go with you? Sure. It's at 5:15 though. Oh, 5:15. And so a couple of them came the next morning, a couple of them didn't. And those that didn't, I said, why didn't you come? They said, oh, the alarm went off and I just couldn't. I said, that was your battle right there. Running would have been easy. The battle is getting out of bed when the alarm goes off. And it's the same thing with this. The battle is just telling yourself, I'm going to step away from my life for whether it's 3 days, 5 days, 7 days. You know, there's we have trips that are all of those durations. And just the hardest part is just saying, yes, I'll do it. And so many people say they want to do it. And Jim and I always just kind of smile and wait and because not a lot actually do, even though so many, I think, have the intention, but just hit the snooze button on that alarm and wait.
Analogy.
And I always kind of try to, I tell Cinda, hey, these people want to go, and she'll, you know, kind of, okay, well, if they call or do one more step, then we'll hope you all get excited or whatever, which is fine. It's just, maybe it's not their, that person's time, but being back to what you said, Jim, if you can get your children to be successful is great, whatever your definition of success is, but truly to get them to be significant in the time they're allotted here on earth is paramount to me.
Yeah.
And then serving other people. So when you go with your children to Guatemala and you spend pretty much your entire day serving others, I can't think of a better thing. And everyone goes, I don't know why, but I just feel like this is the greatest trip ever. It's because you're serving other people.
Yeah.
And they don't even almost know it sometimes. I'll just say it. I mean, you're not worried about your Subway sandwich. And I remember the story. I remember going to Subway after one of our trips with one of my kids. I can't remember which one. And we were talking in the car about at the feeding center when prior to COVID, you could serve these people food. I'd never seen a plate that would come back that had anything on it. It'd be like they'd soak it up with bread and there's nothing on that plate. And I remember they never ordered that food that you served up. Jim out of that and Jamie passed out.
Yeah.
They got what they got on that day. At Subway, people were complaining they didn't have enough lettuce on their sandwich or I didn't have enough turkey or, you know, this kind of that thing. It's just a big difference. It's kids see that.
That's huge. And how do you, you know, for our listeners and for the people that say, okay, well, it's great that you were able to like do the thing and you can serve others. It seems unrealistic, I think, to some, right? Like, oh, wow, you just kind of turned left and made this your mission and it was your passion. And, you know, we get that a lot on certain things from people too. And I think what I've noticed in our life is the more that we serve and the more that we bless others, the more that we're blessed. How do you, Jim, balance? You know, do you feel like when you come back from these trips that you're more focused at work and you're more grateful for your work? Do you find, how does that integration work for you?
Well, as Jim said, my better half made it clear that you have X amount of time and you need to make time for other people. And I feel like God just works it out. You know, like I think I'm missing a day of production, but really at the end of the year, he blesses me some other way. And I think when you make the decision to go and serve, all this stuff works its way out. So we take our calendar and set up all that stuff first. And we back engineer all the work days. And I think I get more stuff done.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much.
I wanted to ask if, well, I want to get to the 75-year-old self, I think.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the message that you guys have brought to us and the experience, and then obviously we've talked about in the shoes now, we are wanting to adopt from a country in Central America, you know, very much influenced by you guys. These are influencing big things, and you're talking about you only have so much time. But we like to always say, okay, what would the later time say to the present time? Meaning we do this thing called 75-year-old self. So, you know, we're talking years down the road. What advice do you think 75-year-old Cinda and Jim would give to everybody today, including yourselves? Just if you can think ahead, which is harder than saying, well, what would we tell our 21-year-old self? I like to know, what is that wisdom future do you think intuitively would say to you? What do you think the message would be?
I feel like for me, it goes back to that, just to make sure you're doing what's important and don't let the urgent steal you of the minutes or hours of your life, and to focus on, I don't know, I always say like that sports analogy, like I want to like slide into home base hot. Like I don't want to like limp into, like, I just want to go in, you know, guns blazing, which means, you know, you're not too young and you're not too old and you're not too busy and you're not too rich. You're not too poor to ever go and make a difference in the life of somebody else. And there's never, ever going to be a perfect time to do it. I mean, we've done it days after kids got married, days before kids graduated, when parents were sick, those things are all important and definitely need our attention, but there's just never going to be like the perfect time to do it. So I guess I think that my 70-year-old self would tell, you know, my younger self, just like leave nothing on the table and have no regrets at the end. Like I don't want to have any regrets that I had an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of others, hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder with our kids as a family unit. I never want to miss that because of the opportunity to maybe earn a little bit more money or get a little bit better, you know, at a sport that a kid's involved in, or more, you know, anything. You can, that list is huge. I don't want to miss those opportunities to do what's important.
I would answer that question kind of after reading that book about the people in the hospice, that written by the author from Australia. But yeah. I would say I would concur. I would say I would work less. I would love more. I'd forgive more. I would take more risks. I would do what's important. I would put others first. I would definitely not assume things anymore. I would not take things personally. I'd get outside more. And I'd spend more time with, you know, even more time with my family and friends, and be a better friend, be the friend that I'd want to have. And really also move. What we all want to do is, when I want to move from being a parent to a good friend of your child, you're still the parent. How do you do that? And I think putting things that are important first. And like Cynthia said, you know, you don't want to, you know, you want to slide into home hot. I think she's pretty hot anyway, but you know, you want to finish your life, in an amazing way. You don't want to just cling on to it at the end. Like Christ said, don't worry. People worry too much about stuff. I can't tell you how many people who told us not to go to Guatemala. I mean, many times you shouldn't go. You're putting things at risk. Life is a risk. So what are you going to do with your time?
Yeah.
To us, it was a bigger risk, you know, to maybe play it safe and miss out. And I think that's like the biggest thing, is just not to wait for the perfect opportunity, but when it's there in front of you, you know, to grab hold of it with both hands and just like take the next step. And you don't have to figure it all. You don't have to have it all figured out, to take just like that first step and the next step. And you don't always have to know the end game. You just have to do like the next right thing.
Yeah. Well, that's why I love your guys' program. Well, first of all, sliding into home hot, being a better friend, prioritize. I mean, that's all golden wisdom. So thank you for sharing. But I think a lot of people say, I want to help. What? How do I do it? What's next? How do I figure that out? I tell people, like, you know, you have a call this week with a very successful person, you know, that I won't reveal name yet, but highly successful, that he, even though he had all this success, he wasn't sure how to do it for his family. I said, you don't have to think about it. Just call these guys. They have the experience. Just go. You want to do this, this, and this? Go. And that's what I love, that you guys have supplied that. Everyone wants to give. Everyone wants to help. And yours is one of few programs I believe in that I would actually say, don't even think about it. Just go.
So how can we learn more about you and find you and follow you and be a part of it for our listeners?
Yeah, well, we're open to people just accessing us, calling us, emailing us anytime. So that, you know, I'll have you share that, you know, as you want to do that. And also transformingfutures.org is a website to be able to reference for quick trips. Forever Changed International is another website to access for the longer week-long trips. But, you know, reaching out to us in any form, whether it's by email or a phone call, just to be able to have that, you know, I think that one-on-one touch point mm-hmm. is important to be able just to connect people in. And so you can share our cell phone number and our email, and we'd love to hear from anybody that just wants to know, okay, so what's next for me? How can I do this?
We'll be careful with that because our list is growing and you guys, I think, are pretty popular. Like,
we like weird people though. So, you know, your weird friends would be welcome.
They're more fun that way anyway.
That's right. That's right.
Well, we're so grateful you're here. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that experience. And we look forward to doing it again with you guys.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.